Hello and welcome to Media News. Media News aims to be an authentic voice bringing you real, truthful stories from the Middle East, with a particular focus on the Kurdish question that is often ignored, self-censored, or suppressed by the mainstream media platforms. Today, I'm extremely honoured to be joined by one of Turkey's most fearless and prominent human rights defenders, Dr. Şebnem Korur-Fincanci, a globally renowned forensic physician who is a founder member of one of Turkey's largest human rights organizations, the Turkish Human Rights Foundation, and has spent much of her career fighting torture and ill treatment in Turkey and worldwide. Her work on torture has taken her all around the world, leading and participating in human rights delegations, forensically uncovering torture and killings in places such as Bosnia and Bahrain, and uncovering and highlighting examples of torture in Turkey. She is presently the president of the Turkish Medical Association, the TBB, which was recently publicly targeted by the Turkish president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, for questioning the effectiveness of TurkVac, the Turkish domestically produced COVID vaccine that has been the subject of great controversy for its lack of transparency of data in trials. Dr. Fincanci, alongside anti-torture experts from around the world, was one of the creators of the Istanbul Protocol, considered now to be the international standard for forensic investigations of torture. Her work on torture is legendary, and as is her dedication to human rights work in Turkey. Listeners will also know that Dr. Fincanci was arrested and jailed in relation to her act of solidarity with the Kurdish media in 2016, where she acted in an act of solidarity as editor-in-chief of the famous Kurdish daily Özgür Gündem. She is, in short, one of Turkey's most prominent human rights defenders, with a long and distinguished career in the field of psychology, forensic medicine, and human rights that I could not even hope to do justice to, given the limited time that we have today. And it is such an honor to be joined by her for this short interview on Media News. Dr. Fincanci, welcome to Media News.
Thank you very much. And also, when I hear your English, I feel a bit embarrassed indeed.
No, please do not do that. You are
so nice to hear how you speak in English.
Thank you so much. So, Dr. Fincanci, perhaps for our listeners, we could begin by asking you if you could kindly explain, what is the Turkish Medical Association? What is its remit and mission in Turkey? Essentially, what is the purpose of the TBB?
Turkish Medical Association is the main organization for the physicians, and we have these kind of national medical associations all over the world, which are all members of the World Medical Association. And Turkish Medical Association has a constitutional basis. And in the past, being a member was compulsory. But then, during 1980 military coup d'etat, unfortunately, they just had several amendments of the law of Turkish Medical Association, where they just had it compulsory for only private practice physicians. But even if it is only obligatory for the private practice physicians, many of our public state hospitals, physicians who work in such kind of civil system, still we have one third of our members from such public service. They couldn't just prevent physicians from being a member of Turkish Medical Association. Why? Because Turkish Medical Association just protects physicians from any kind of harassment, illegal actions, and also whenever they have some kinds of violations of their rights, they just apply Turkish Medical Association for support. So we support our members, and also this is not the only cause that we exist. According to the Turkish Medical Association law, we have the duty to protect public health. So this means that we have to intervene with such kind of issues that just violate the public health and causes public health problems. When you told about Turkovac, for example, why do Turkish Medical Association have to raise awareness against Turkovac? Because we have concerns about Turkovac without any results shared with public.
So before we get on to the situation of COVID in Turkey, what are the working conditions for members of your organization, the Turkish Physicians? I understand that these conditions are quite harsh, and you many doctors and medical staff have left Turkey.
Actually, working conditions during the COVID-19 pandemic is very difficult for all physicians around the world. Long hours of work, too many cases, the case workload is so high. So it is very difficult, not only for the physicians, of course, for all health professionals, it is very difficult. But in Turkey, this is incredible because we have, for example, 36 hours of work with the night shifts. According to the working rules around the world, for example, you can work 12 hours and afterwards you have to rest. But for particularly junior colleagues, it is too many hours of work, which might amount to 36 hours. And afterwards, for example, if they have a night shift and afterwards they work again, continue working, and they can't have a rest afterwards and have to continue work, which caused a traffic accident recently, where we lost a young colleague who crashed her car on a truck. This is inhumane when we consider the working hours. And also the daily working hours is not 8 hours only, but sometimes it is 12 hours, more than 12 hours, because they have to start working at 7 a.m. in the morning, and they can't quit work before just regular work done in the clinics. And then it might be at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. sometimes. And we know that the physicians have to study afterwards. When they go home, they do not rest at all, because they have to read articles, they have to read textbooks. If they already have a residency and have to study their own topics. So it is not an easy work. And also, they do not have a decent salary for all this work. And this, unfortunately, this salary is below the hunger line.
Especially with the inflation affecting Turkey, I would imagine.
With the inflation, it is horrible. When we consider the amount, for example, a 4,000 Turkish lira doesn't mean anything. And with 4,000 lira, we force these colleagues to work, and also they don't have secure work. They do not know what will happen at the end because there are several regulations, particularly after 2016, 15th of July. So with a regulation, they find themselves unemployed in a day.
Gosh,
so,
I mean,
no security, no salaries at all, and long hours of work. So they are burnt out.
And is it true that Turkey is, there's a kind of brain drain going on, that Turkey are losing physicians?
Yeah, unfortunately, they do. And we cannot criticize them because particularly the junior colleagues do not find a hopeful future for themselves. So when they consider the situation in the country, their working conditions, they can't be sure whether in a few years they will be in a better condition. So they decide to go outside abroad to several countries, including UK, Germany, and mostly Germany, because it is easier to go Germany and start to work there. It is only the language issues, so they can just easily learn the language and start working in a clinic immediately. For example, last year we had 1,405 colleagues who applied for a good standing certificate, which means that at least 1,405 colleagues decided to go abroad.
Wow. I mean, given that context, then, how is the morale of the staff that are left trying to deal with the COVID pandemic? And perhaps now you could also give us your thoughts about how generally the COVID pandemic is affecting the population of Turkey, and how you think that the Turkish government are managing.
As I mentioned before, they are really burnt out. This exhausting duration of work, and of course, it's hard work. It is not an easy work. They don't sit for these long hours. They have to be active, and also all these cases overwhelming in the health system. So they have to deal with such kind of cases without any rights at all. And also, we know that violence is escalating in the health sector. So with the threat of violence all the time in their mind, they really feel exhausted, burnt out, and the morale is not in a good condition, unfortunately. With the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, we know that all over the world, actually, the preventive medicine have been long before quitted. And unfortunately, the COVID-19 cases are met at the hospitals to be treated. But we know that there is not a proper treatment. Only palliative ways of treating these people, and at the end, many of these cases do not have a good result outcome, and this also is a very difficult situation for the health professionals, for the physicians, because they feel exhausted with the outcome of the patients also. When they have a good outcome for these patients, then they would feel more hopeful. But unfortunately, they don't have that opportunity with such kind of cases, particularly with not preventing the pandemic, but just trying to treat such kind of a pandemic. So the policy, the health policy for the pandemic in Turkey also has an effect to just cause exhaustion for the physicians.
Gosh, and recently your organization was targeted publicly by the Turkish president regarding the Turkovac, this domestically produced vaccination for COVID-19. What are your concerns about this vaccination?
Actually, we have asked for the results of the phases to be shared with the scientific society and also with the public, because we know that beforehand, all of the vaccines who had the emergency use accepted, and also afterwards there are the FDA acceptance for several of them. All of the findings and the results of this researches have been shared openly. Transparency was very important. I remember watching, for example, BioNTech vaccine discussions published by FDA, and it was 9 hours long publication broadcast on YouTube. So wow. It was open and transparent. Everybody had the possibility to ask questions, and many people, lay people, also asked questions to the researchers. So this is something which persuades the community to be vaccinated. It is very important. With the Turkovac, we didn't have the results. And unfortunately, after we asked for the results, we learned that the researchers have been asked to share the interim results because we asked the question. But the interim results are very limited, and we don't have the scientific data, only a global way of a descriptive way of the research. So we need discussions in the scientific committee also, and publications would be very helpful for us to see whether this vaccine is secure, safe, and qualified, and also effective in this sense. But we don't know the results, unfortunately.
And is this a public discussion that's going on in Turkey? And would that affect the take up of people getting vaccinations?
We already have two types of vaccines which people can reach. One of them is mRNA vaccine, BioNTech, and the other is an inactive vaccine, CoronaVac. So people have choices. It is good to have choices.
Of course.
Of course, if Turkovac is as effective and safe as they claim, then they would have three options, which is hopeful for the future. But we know that, for example, CoronaVac is less effective, particularly with Omicron variant. So we have to be cautious about just supporting inactive vaccines in this sense. Even with the BioNTech, the mRNA vaccines, the efficacy and effectivity is lower with Omicron variant. So we will see, of course.
Okay. Dr. Finjanji, while I have you, I would like to also ask you about an issue that is being quite widely reported, especially in the Kurdish media. There are many sick prisoners, around 1,605, according to a recent report by the Turkish Human Rights Association, who remain in prison despite serious illnesses and are seemingly condemned to this terrible situation by these reports, very controversial reports that are issued from a government-controlled organization called the Forensic Medical Institute, the ATK. And despite all the medical evidence that to the seriousness of these illnesses that the prisoners have, they simply brush over and issue reports that are almost contrary and advising that these ill prisoners must stay in prison. There's obviously been the recent example of the Kurdish politician, Aysel Turluk, who has a deteriorating disease, but she has not been released. What are your comments on this issue?
Of course, Turkish Medical Association also have received some applications from prisoners' lawyers, or some human rights organizations, particularly the Human Rights Association in Turkey. And we try to just form committees from particularly the interested specialties to evaluate all the reports and sometimes have alternative reporting mechanisms for these people. Aysel Turluk is one of these cases. So we just try to have a medical assessment for Aysel Turluk's case and the health condition. Mm-hmm. And also, we know that there is a report and elaborated by a university for Aysel Turluk, Kocaeli University. And in this report, they just raised the issue that Aysel Turluk's health condition is not... I can't remember the word.
Sometimes. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's not.
It's not adequate to continue being in prison. Okay. But unfortunately, the official Institute of Forensic Medicine just provided a report telling that her health condition is adequate to stay in prison, which is a controversy. And we have several such kind of controversies with the official institute's reports and universities or state hospitals' reports. So it is, of course, difficult for the prisoners because their rights are violated in this sense, and their health condition might be so riskful for them to stay in prison. And some of them, unfortunately, pass away in the prison. Access to health is another problem for such kind of prisoners. As you have mentioned, there are many ill prisoners, and some of them have serious illnesses, around 400, more than 400 cases. Mm-hmm. But some of these people do not have a proper access to health. They can't visit the hospitals. And also, due to the pandemic, there are some rules, regulations in the prisons. For example, they have to be in the quarantine for 15 days after they visit the hospital. And this sometimes means being alone in the quarantine cell, which prevents them from having support and healthcare, because many of these people just access to healthcare through their prison mates. If they are in a ward, then the other prisoners try to help these people, support these people, and provide their needs in this sense. But unfortunately, it is not possible. And also, access to health is another problem because of some practice, some ill practice in the hospitals. They are forced to be examined with the handcuffs, which is totally unethical behavior. And also the police officers, the law enforcement officials, forced to be in the examination room. They refuse to leave the room, which also compromises the confidentiality and the privacy of the prisoners. So the prisoners refuse to such kind of violations, to be subjected to such kind of violations, and they refuse to visit the hospitals. So access to health is unfortunately blocked with such kind of attitudes. These are other issues, of course. These are violations of human rights, to be forced to be examined with handcuffs. And how can you examine a person with handcuffs without any mobilization during the examination? So we have such kind of problems regarding the prisons, unfortunately. And there are other violations, of course. Limited amount of water, which prevents the sanitary needs to be met in such kind of cases.
And there has also been a few cases of controversy around so-called suicides, including Garibi Gezer, another Kurdish female politician.
Yeah, there are, of course, allegations of torture in the prisons. And these allegations are not effectively investigated, unfortunately. And also, the medical documentation is not adequate at all with such cases. Even if there is the medical documentation of torture, then the investigation by the prosecutors is not adequate. Sometimes there is the indictment, but no punishment by the courts. So impunity is another issue for such kind of cases. And with Garibi Gezer, there is an allegation of sexual torture. And afterwards, she had committed suicide. But it was a suicide attempt. They didn't have any preventive measures for such kind of suicide attempts. So this time, unfortunately, she committed suicide and was dead.
Dr. Finjanji, I mean, you have had such a very, very long career before you were the president of the Turkish Medical Association in human rights and highlighting these issues of torture. Can I just ask you, generally, aside from your position, how you see the present human rights situation in Turkey in relation, for example, to the human rights situation of the 90s, for example? How do you see the general situation?
It is very difficult to answer this question because in some ways, for example, we have much stronger, powerful procedural safeguards recently. Particularly after the European Union membership application, and there were some regulations to just improve the situation, we had several procedural safeguards. amendments in the regulations, in the law, and we had a very powerful article of torture with a diverse description of torture, and also we consider torture as a crime against humanity. So there is no way of duration. For example, you can just have the allegation of 30 years ago without any limitation of time. But do we follow the procedural safeguards? No, we do not. For example, with the medical examination of detainees, has several rules. As I have mentioned before, handcuffed medical examination is banned. But we know that they force physicians to examine these detainees with the handcuffs, or the law enforcement officials cannot stay in the examination room. This is a rule, but again, the law enforcement officials force the detainee and the physician to stay in the room during that medical examination. These are problems. And also the physicians who examine these detainees are mostly emergency department physicians, and there are several emergency cases, and they have to just examine the detainee among all these workload and many cases. So there is limited time for them. We always ask for a separate examination system for these kind of detention cases, but unfortunately we couldn't manage it. So it doesn't differ much in 1990s and now 2021. And also regarding the torture methods, of course there are some differences, because we already just diagnosed some typical torture methods, for example, electrical torture or falanga torture in the past. But there are new ways of torture. So torture always exists if we have the impunity and we make the perpetrators immune from punishment. I wouldn't say there is much difference, unfortunately. But the main difference is the awareness of the public. Public is more aware and know where to apply, to ask and to seek for their rights. This is a good outcome at the end. So they ask for rehabilitation and for medical documentation of torture more than in the past. And we have some institutions for this purpose.
I have so many questions that I would love to ask you, but I literally time is running out. But I would just like to ask you one last question before asking you to summarize. And that is, I wanted to ask your thoughts on the consequences of Turkey's withdrawal from the Istanbul Convention for the Rights of Women and LGBT community in Turkey. What's your thoughts on that?
Unfortunately, this is a safeguard that we do not have anymore. And it was a very important convention. We know it because this convention just makes the government to have regulations to prevent violence against women, violence against LGBTI people, and also to take measures to prevent impunity with such kind of cases, and to protect these people, for protection to have proper institutions. For example, they can stay in a proper institution and have rehabilitation, so the government have to provide rehabilitation for these people according to the convention. Of course, there are some safeguards in the country, there are some regulations in the country, but unfortunately the perspective is very important, because when we just consider the perspective of the legal regulations in this context, it is the protection of the family, not the protection of the women or LGBTI people. So then, in order to protect the family, in most cases, they try to just persuade women or these people to take their allegations back, which is the most important part. And we know that there are more killings of these people, there are more violations and the violence against these people recently. And also pandemic is another reason for the escalating violence in the country against women and LGBTI people, because they had to stay at home.
Yeah.
And mostly women had to quit work instead of the men. And then when they stay in the house, then the violence is the main issue for these women.
Really, we've gone so much over time, but I have so many things I would like to ask you. Dr. Shebnem Korur-Finjanji, it's been such a pleasure and honor to speak with you today. Is there anything in summary that you would personally like to specifically talk about or highlight?
Thank you very much. Actually, I want to highlight an important issue, because we know that preventive medicine all over the world has been quit. So we have to go back in 1960s, 70s, where we had the social state system, where we could provide healthcare without any discrimination, and also prevent illness beforehand. And also to protect the world, to protect the planet with all the living beings, in order to prevent further pandemics all over the world.
Dr. Shebnem Korur-Finjanji, one of Turkey's most prominent human rights advocates, president of the Turkish Medical Association, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, and we're very honored to have you on the program today. Thank you so much, and good luck with your work.
I thank you very much.
Thank you.